Sicut enim exibuistis membra vestra servire immunditiae et iniquitati ad iniquitate, ita nunc exhibete membra vestra servire justitiae in sanctificatione. For as you have yielded your members as slaves of uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members as slaves of justice unto sanctification. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, this year, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, coincides with the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. In today's Gospel, we have a warning from our Lord about the end times, a warning that he gave to us after his Sermon on the Mount. From the daily news, we see that we live in evil times, with churches being burned, statues being toppled or vandalized all over the country, immorality being promoted by the highest officers of the nation, and the defiance of some of our highest officials before the bishops of the church. Let us recognize it for what it is. These are the many signs of a revolution being prepared in our country, and the church is one of the targets. There is no outcry from our political leaders. Shamefully, often our bishops show no unity of purpose or strength of will. No doubt, this can cause all of us to be concerned and have a lot of fear. There are many who will rise up as though prophetically giving us different pieces of advice of what we are to do, and trying to lead us in one direction or another. Our Lord himself warns us about them in today's Gospel. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Let us look closely at the readings of today's Mass to understand what we are to do in these troubled times. Moreover, let us also try to glean some lessons from Our Lady of Mount Carmel. The Church has been through terrible times before, but every time she got through by faith in her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our salvation is by our faith in Jesus Christ and within his Church. It is the virtue of faith that gives us a supernatural motive to all of the other virtues. It is the virtue of faith that is the solid nourishment for the virtues of hope and charity. The whole edifice of the Church rests on faith in Jesus Christ, and by the same faith we remain within the Church, growing in perfection. Therefore, in these times of trouble, it is necessary to continue growing in the virtue of faith. When we are most shaken or worried, we must make acts of faith to stave off temptation, to despair, and continue on our way. A soul that exercises the virtue of faith constantly attracts the help of the Holy Spirit, who will establish in it his dwelling place. Such a soul, growing in faith and seeking always to conform to the truth taught by Jesus Christ, truth for which he did not hesitate to shed his blood, such a soul will find itself going through the storms of the present time in a state of calm and peace. In today's Gospel we read, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Take note, dear faithful, this faith should not only be directed towards our Lord through his Church, it should also be firmly established in our souls. For what good is a weak faith when the false prophets come? It is for this reason our Lord permits that our faith is tested. As the iron is forged in the fire, our faith is made stronger the more it is exercised in persecution. Without any testing, the faith that we have received will forever remain weak and puny. At the first sight of trouble, it will be shaken, and we will immediately become anxious. For this reason, just as weeds grow in a garden, we will have to constantly deal with thoughts, actions, and movements of our passions that can trouble our peace and take us off track when we are making good progress. In our present world, we also have to deal with the barrage of ideologies, lies, and false information being thrown at us all the time. To strengthen us in our faith in the Church, God has always permitted sects and heretical teachings to flourish. It is at these times, and while striving against such errors, that the faith becomes all the more sharpened. Each of us has to face this battle in the field of our souls, fighting not only our past attachments to sin and the disordered movements of our passions, but also the infiltration of the lies of the devil and the world into our souls. By our personal triumph over the lies and a firm adhesion to the truths of the Church, we will be a child of the light shining in the world. What we are seeing in the world and the Church today is a fruit of the last 60 years of living as we wished and not according to the teachings of Holy Mother Church. The Church, as the mystical body of Christ, is at the same time a human and divine institution. It is both visible and invisible. While her human members may fail, including in bishops not standing firm for the faith when required, as a divine institution, Holy Mother Church is impeccable. Therefore, when we hold on to the perennial teachings of the Church, the doctrine that she has held and taught for the whole of her existence, we do not stray from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord himself promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against his Church. At present, we see that the enemy of the Church has raised a large army against her. They have infiltrated her both from within and without, and are constantly at the attack. If their lies, as despicable as they are summarily dismissed because they are so ridiculous that they are not even worthy of argument, they clamor all the more loudly and badger Holy Mother Church all the more. Many have fallen by weakness of faith to these lies. Many, even among our bishops, have attempted to compromise with the liars, hoping for some peace. Dear faithful, let us also admit that what we see happening outside in the world, we have seen in our souls. When we fail to nourish our faith, we fail to have a supernatural motive for our prudence, and thereby we make choices that we deplore later in our lives. When we fail to hold firmly to the faith, we fall prey to the most specious arguments by our own rationalizing, compromising easily with the lies that we hear. When we do these things, we make the one true Catholic faith into something convenient for us, and while we do not lose sight, or rather, while we do not lose all of the light of faith, a dull version takes root in our souls. What we see happening in large scale in the whole Church, we may have experienced ourselves by failing to exercise our faith. We may hope that a few compromises will not hurt. However, we deceive ourselves. When we fail to hold on to the faith in its integrity, we damage it. Over time, like the tuck pointing of the stonework of any building, the elements erode the mortar that binds the stones together until it breaks up and does not hold. Then, dear faithful, without faith, our natural prudence loses its supernatural motive, charity, and we make bad decisions, failing to keep everything together. Our charity will have no foundation. When the stones have nothing to bind them together, they fall off. When the faith is lost, all indeed is lost. Therefore, as our Lord warns us, we must beware the false prophets who we can recognize by their fruits. We must be careful to hold firmly to the truths of the faith, as the Church has always taught them, not compromising it in its integrity in any way. If we recognize that we have allowed ourselves to be fooled by lies in the past, let us apply ourselves from now on to producing the good fruits of justice and truth. If we have given in to our passions, let us stop rationalizing, forgive our enemies, and apply ourselves to cultivating virtue. St. Paul tells us in today's epistle to yield your members as slaves of justice unto sanctification, as you once yielded your members as slaves of uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity. Our first duty is the glorification of God, and then comes the sanctification of our souls. Our sanctification cannot be apart from our duties of state. Even if we are disappointed by the weak action on the part of some of the bishops, saddened by the news of the Church from across the nation and from abroad, our duty of working towards our personal sanctification remains. We will not be judged on anything else. Dear faithful, in times like this, it is useful for us to take recourse in Our Lady of Mount Carmel. As you well know, Mount Carmel was where the prophet Elijah slew the prophets of Baal after proving that their God was a false God. Carmel was where worship to the true God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was re-established. It was a time of drought in Israel, and after offering a sacrifice to the one true God, the prophet Elijah prayed 7 times for rain. It is significant that the Book of Kings tells us that the rain cloud announcing the end of the drought was in the shape of a man's foot, indicating that consolation in times of drought would come from Jesus himself in the shape of the heel that crushed the head of the serpent, the father of lies. When Elijah was taken up into heaven, his followers, the first among them, the prophet Elisha, lived as hermits on the same mountain. Their followers and spiritual descendants continued living there, and tradition has it that upon hearing the preaching of St. John the Baptist, they were among the first to accept our Lord as the long-promised Messiah. The geography of Israel tells us why God chose Carmel to carry such a signification. Carmel is a beautiful mountain in an otherwise arid country. The name Carmel itself means garden. It is in a small range in the center of Israel, linking the mountain ranges of the Galilee in the north and of Judea in the south. This short range towers over the plains on which repeatedly throughout history Israel's enemies were destroyed. The Canaanites through Deborah and Jael, the Midianites through Gideon, the Assyrians through Judith. Near the northern part of this range is Nazareth, the city of our Lord. Several times in our history, the Lord allowed Israel's enemies to come all the way to the center of the country before smiting them and saving his people. On July 16th, 1251, at Cambridge in England, Our Lady gave to St. Simon Stock her scapular. Pope John Paul II tells us that the sign of the scapular points to an effective synthesis of Marian spirituality, which nourishes the devotion of believers and makes them sensitive to the Virgin Mother's loving presence in their lives. Therefore, two truths are evoked by the sign of the scapular. On the one hand, the constant protection of the Blessed Virgin, not only on one's life journey, but also at the moment of passing into the fullness of eternal life. On the other, the awareness that devotion to her cannot be limited to prayers and tributes in her honor on certain occasions, but must become a habit, that is, a permanent orientation of one's own Christian conduct, woven of prayer and interior life, through frequent reception of the sacraments and the concrete practice of the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. In the vision that St. Simon Stock received, Our Lady did promise that those who wear the scapular will be preserved from eternal fires of hell on the Saturday after their death. Sister Lucy of Fatima reported that in the final vision, the Blessed Mother appeared at Fatima in the form of Our Lady of Carmel, carrying a scapular. Saint Teresa of Avila also had a vision confirming the Sabbatine privilege reported by Saint Simon Stock. This may be the worst of times because of the evil that is all around us, but by faith it can be the best of times for the salvation of our soul. Let us therefore renew our resolutions and seek the intercession of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Let us pray with ever-increasing fervor. Let us nourish our faith by spiritual reading and seek first the kingdom of God. Let us ask our Blessed Mother to help us reorient our Christian conduct so that, willed by God, we are found worthy of heaven at the end of our lives. Let us seek to do all this by faith and confidence in God and the help of His Blessed Mother. Saint Teresa of Avila has said, "Let nothing disturb thee, let nothing frighten thee. All things are passing, God never changes. Patience gains all things. Who has God wants nothing. God alone suffices. Our Lady of Mount Carmel, help of Christians, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen."